Rebecca has a good point. I got an email from Rebecca. She's got a good point. She says, I hope you talk about the string of tornadoes that came through here Sunday. Illinois became the 19th state to legalize sodomite marriage. They're not gay. There's nothing gay about that. It's very sad. And it was the only state to suffer death from the tornadoes that hit our area. She's got a point. Indiana, my state, got slammed by the same storm tornadoes but suffered no casualties. But I can't help but see this is a judgment from God. It seems like the states that are legalizing gay marriage are going against God. The most are suffering from really bad natural disasters. Colorado had the flood, New England, Hurricane Sandy, New Jersey. The firemen that died after they abolished the Defense of Marriage Act. I think she's talking about in Arizona. Louisiana had both Hurricane Katrina and 7 years to the day, Hurricane Isaac, during their gay festival. I remember. But anyway, and she has a Bible verse here, Nahum 1:3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet, for they have sown the wind. This is Hosea 8:7, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. And I think she has a point. Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Mike. I'm coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker on the 33rd parallel here in Dallas, Texas, wondering why President Obama refuses. And when he's quoting now an historical document, why he refuses to say under God. President Obama opted to leave out the words under God in his rendition of President Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, filmed for a website put together by documentary filmmaker Ken Burns. It's a curious omission, particularly because, according to eyewitnesses, Lincoln is said to have used the words under God when he delivered the address on November 19, 1863, 150 years ago, Tuesday. When President Obama was asked, why did you leave the words under God out of your rendition of the Gettysburg Address, Obama just frankly said, because I'm the Antichrist. That's why. Gosh, what is wrong with you people? Anyway, good to be with you today. Send me some emails. Let's have some emails from everybody. I tweeted earlier today, we're going to talk about JFK. We're going to talk about conspiracy theories and conspiracy facts and things related to John Fitzgerald Kennedy and the assassination on his life, November 22nd, 1963, some 3 years before I was born. I do not remember where I was when that happened. I have no idea where I was when that happened. I remember 9/11. I remember where I was then. But I don't remember that day. Some of you listening, you can probably remember what happened on that. You remember that famous CBS Walter Cronkite break-in to, I think, what was playing then? The Days of Our Lives, I think, was playing then. And Walter Cronkite broke in and told the story that the president had been shot in Dallas. So the eyes of the entire country were fixed on what was going on in Dallas, Texas that day. A lot of conspiracy ideas, a lot of conspiracy theories. If you were to ask my opinion, and I have an opinion on it. If you were to ask my opinion, I absolutely believe that there was more than just Lee Harvey Oswald involved in the JFK assassination. I absolutely believe it. Can I prove it? No. But I believe it. There is an article that came out on, let's see here, CBS, MiamiCBSLocal.com. There's an exclusive JFK assassination witness speaks for the first time. A Dallas police officer. Let's see, what's his name here? R.C. Nelson. was there. He was Officer J.D. Tippett's sometimes partner. And I don't mean partner in the sense that people, oh, this is my partner. Police officer partners. They said they were like night watch partners, and you know, every now and then. But he knew him. Knew him pretty well. And so he kind of talks about, you know, hearing about Officer Tippett being shot. Of course, that's the idea, is that Oswald, after fleeing the scene, shot and killed Officer J.D. Tippett. There's even conspiracies about that. It wasn't Oswald. It was some other guy looking like Oswald. It was an Oswald lookalike. How can you tell the difference? I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. So I can't say, yeah, that's what it was, man. It was another guy that's like Oswald. There was like three Oswalds. I don't know that. I don't know that 100%. But anyway, there is something interesting that that he says here concerning not the J.D. Tippett shooting, but this particular officer, R.C. Nelson, not only on duty in Dallas that day that Kennedy was killed, was in the Texas or whatever the I've been sort of through this area, was in the police station basement when Jack Ruby shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, interestingly enough, there is no conspiracy theory that says Jack Ruby did not actually kill Lee Harvey Oswald that I know of. And I know the internet is full of conspiracy theories. Some of them you're going, you know, that's pretty interesting. Some of them are just some guy made something up. He's got some kind of pseudo evidence. He's wanting to make a name for himself, so he goes on YouTube or makes this big website or whatever. To my knowledge, there is not a theory out there that says Jack Ruby was not, in fact, the killer of Lee H. Oswald, primarily because the entire world was watching live on television. These big, you remember back in the 60s, these big, massive TV cameras were there in the parking garage of the police station. And they not only showed it live, there was photographers there. They were recording these things. We have the video recordings. We have that famous photograph of Jack Ruby's pistol in Oswald's gut and him going like that. It's pretty convincing. But I would not doubt. I would not doubt it. If there's some website out there somewhere that says they have definitive proof that the videos and the photos were faked, that Oswald and Ruby were crisis actors, and it never happened. I'm sure that there's got to be something out there. But here is, now, what is interesting is what Officer Nelson said about that particular day. He said, here's the article. 2 days after the assassination of Kennedy and with an entire nation in mourning, Nelson was assigned to the basement's main door entrance from City Hall. Oswald was scheduled to be moved from City Hall to the county jail, and he was being moved through the basement. Nelson said all of the television cameras, which broadcast the transfer and what happened in the basement, entered through the door where he was standing guard. As Oswald was moving through the basement, Nelson was approximately 20 feet away when he heard a shot ring out and then chaos. Chicago businessman Jack Ruby had gotten into the, which whose his real name is Rubenstein. I don't know if you remember that or not. Rubenstein, which incidentally means red stone. The philosopher's stone. Now we're getting wacky. Because I'm not going to talk about physical conspiracy theories. I'm going to talk about a spiritual one. Rubenstein means red stone. The philosopher's stone of Freemasonry and of alchemy is a red stone. A ruby stone. Anyway, Chicago businessman Jack Ruby had gotten into the basement and shot Oswald with a .38 revolver, or so we've been led to believe. Anyway, Nelson said Ruby was bent over and he heard someone yell, "Get his gun!" "I grabbed for his hands and didn't find a gun," Nelson said, "but I managed to manhandle him into the basement jailhouse office and handcuffed him." Ruby reportedly said, "It's me! It's Jack!" Right after he fired the fatal shot at Oswald, Ruby knew several Dallas police officers. Why? Because Ruby owned a strip club in Dallas and undoubtedly knew several Dallas police officers. Why? Let them in the back door? You know, whatever. We heard there's a complaint down here at Ruby's, what was his nightclub called? I don't know. We heard there's a club. We better go check it out. So I'm sure he knew some of these guys. I'm sure some of these guys probably, you know, probably a little bit of money transferring here and there. So he says, "It's me, it's Jack." Ruby knew several Dallas police officers, but Nelson said he was not familiar with him. What hasn't been shared before is what Nelson said happened just before the shooting and then in the immediate aftermath. According to Nelson, right before Oswald was brought to the basement, a Dallas police decoy car was brought to the basement and plainclothes cops were put inside the car to distract the media from the real transfer vehicle. Makes sense. The decoy car drove up the north. I guess you could call these crisis actors in the decoy car. The decoy car drove up the north ramp, which Nelson said was actually the entry ramp to the basement. They drove up the north ramp, which was actually entry ramp to the basement, and drove around the block, Nelson said. Nelson said the lieutenant driving the decoy car came walking back through his area after parking in the basement again. Nelson said he was positive that Ruby had not passed him to get into the basement. According to Nelson, Lieutenant Sam Pierce said Ruby walked right by the decoy car and walked down the north ramp into the basement. Shortly after the shooting, however, Nelson was told Dallas Chief of Police Jesse Curry wanted to see him. When Nelson got to Chief Curry's office, he saw Lieutenant Pierce was already in the office. The chief told Nelson, "RC, this isn't going to be held against you with all the TV cameras that were coming into the basement." Nelson thought Chief Curry was implying that Ruby had got past him. Nelson said he told the chief that, quote, "You can tell me anything you want, but Ruby did not come by me." In the days that followed, Officer Tippett would be laid to rest, and Nelson saw his former partner's wife to try to comfort her, and it was hard. But he says, over the next year, the Warren Commission investigated the assassination of President Kennedy and the murder of Lee H. Oswald. Despite his being right in the middle of the historical events, Nelson said he was never called to testify. "I thought it was kind of strange because all the Warren Commission hearings, no one knew how Ruby got into the basement," Nelson said. He said, "I was there." And he said, "He never got past me. Never." As the decades had gone by, Nelson said he had a chance to talk about the events, but he said he didn't feel, quote, like talking about it. "Several authors contacted me, and I just didn't feel like it," said Nelson. "But lately, many of my family members have tried to get me to tell my story." RC also said that some authors have even alleged that he was, quote, involved in the conspiracy. "I wasn't," Nelson said. Well, there you go, right there. He said he wasn't. "I want my family to have something recorded so my great-grandkids will know the real facts. It's been 50 years on a cold, sunny November day in 1963. It became such a nightmare that tens of millions of Americans can still tell you exactly where they were. I can't," when they heard the news. For R.C. Nelson, the memories of the day Camelot died are still crystal clear. And you can see that story on miami.cbslocal.com. You know, I usually don't read a lot of the user comments here. Let's see here. Usually I overlook this. So there's sometimes a lot of interesting stuff here, and I don't see anything here about conspiracy. Apparently someone let Ruby in beforehand. I'm still waiting for someone to explain the pristine bullet. That's a question I got. I got the same idea. Pristine Bullet, have you seen Oliver Stone's JFK movie? It's interesting. It's interesting, but there's an element to that. I don't have it in my little picture gallery that I was going to show you today. There's a clip. If you watch JFK, Oliver Stone's movie, get a bleeper handy because it needs bleeping. But there is a scene where the New Orleans district attorney, what's his name, pled by whoever it is. I can't think of names right now. But he's having a meeting in Washington, D.C. with somebody who's in the government, who apparently is a whistleblower of some kind, who's trying to tell him that he's on the right track, but you know there's things you're missing here. It's a big cover up, and he asked the question. You know, you have to ask the question: who wanted him dead? Who had the means to cover it up? You know, who did it? Who? And then there's this big, what they call a pregnant pause, right in the film, and it just shows these two characters on a park bench in front of something. And you go watch that movie, and when you figure out that little pregnant pause and the symbolic value that it has, you'll go, wait a minute. I think there's something going on here. Let me read to you something. By the way, I'll go through this, and if we have time, we'll look at some emails. I got people asking me to read more emails. Pastor Mike, would you please read some more emails? I'm going to try. I really am. But let me kind of go to some things. Some of this is some information that I've been gathering over the years. I have been meaning to for the past 4 years. My good intentions have been to make a video called Dealey Plaza Decoded, because I've been just gathering a ton of stuff. And if you know my work before, it's a lot of symbols, a lot of numbers and things like that. And there is a biblical justification for that. Do I believe a conspiracy was in place November 22nd, 1963, Dallas, Texas, at Dealey Plaza? And the answer is absolutely yes. Do I know any of the names of anybody who's behind it? I don't know. Do I know how many shots were fired? 3 that I can verify. Was there a 4th one? Probably. Could be. My issue is I don't have the proof. I don't have the evidence. I don't have a document. I don't have a piece of film. I don't have a picture. I don't have a sworn testimony of a dying man saying, I was the killer. I have been to Dealey Plaza. I've stood behind that picket fence. It's still there. Most of the scene there is still pretty much the way it was 1963. I've stood behind that picket fence. Gary was with me. Gary, come here. I'll show you something. If I was a killer and I was going to blow the head off of some guy coming down Elm Street, a nightmare on Elm Street, I would stand right here and do it. Because if you've never been there, there is, and I guess the city of Dallas preserves this, there's a white X in the pavement. It's not just painted on. It's like grooved down in the pavement. There's a white X there that marks the exact spot where the kill shot took place. You know, his brain's blowing out all over the place. It's right. There's a big X there. And if you stand behind that white picket fence and you look, you're looking at, I mean, I just came back from deer season. I would have loved to have had that shot on a deer this weekend. Didn't see anything. It was slim pickings this year is what it was. But I, as a hunter looking for a target, doesn't get any better than that. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So was there someone behind that picket fence? If I was picking a spot to assassinate somebody, that would be one of the spots I would look at. The JFK movie, they make an interesting observation. If you go up to the sixth floor repository where Oswald apparently or allegedly was, you look out the window where they say he took his shots from. He was like at the corner of the building, and he had another window view of the president's limo coming right down toward him, and they're going, why didn't he do it from here? As he's coming toward him, instead of taking a chance waiting on him going past him. And I'm going, I'm not an assassin, but that makes a lot of sense. So anyway, was there more than three shots? Could very well be. I don't have the evidence. I don't have the bullets. I don't have the people. I don't have anything like that. There's been, how many books have been written on JFK? How many books, how many movies have been made? How many documentaries? The United States Congress, back in the 70s, apparently there was so much controversy over the Warren Report that the United States Congress opened up a brand new series of meetings, the House Select Committee on Assassinations. They were looking at JFK. They were looking at RFK. They were looking at Martin Luther King. They were going, there's just something going on here where it seems like political assassination is, this is what you do in America in the 60s. And they were looking into it realistically, analyzing the audio tape, analyzing film, and analyzing, you know, measurements and things like that. And they concluded in the 70s, we think the Warren Report's not right. We think there is a conspiracy there. Do we know what it was? Have no idea. So that's how that came out. And so I believe it. I believe that there was a conspiracy. I believe that there was more than one shooter. I believe that there was more than one person involved in this. When you have the guy who is the one arrested for killing the president, pulling the trigger, and then in front of television as he's transferred from one jail to the next, he gets his guts blown out in front of everybody so he doesn't talk. You got a guy linked into the Chicago Mafia, Jack Ruby. That just stinks. It absolutely stinks of there's something going on here. So, you know what? If you have a theory about JFK, number one, email it to me. I'd like to see what you've got to say. Number two, if you believe that there was something going on there that the Warren Report just didn't get it right, I don't think you're crazy. I really don't think you're crazy. At least not for that reason. You're not crazy. You might be nuts for something else, but not for that. I think it's realistic. I think that it is a valid question that comes up in people's minds who both were there. Me being born out of due time. I wasn't born during that. I didn't know that time. But I look at it historically and go, there's something not right here. But then you bring the idea, let's ask the question, number one, are there conspiracies? So I tell you what we do. Let's take a walk down old Route 66, shall we? The 66 books of our King James Bible. In Psalm chapter 2, here's what the Bible says. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, here's the vain thing that they're imagining. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. That is a conspiracy theory, or that is a conspiracy. It is a group of people who have set themselves and they're taking counsel together. And what are they just talking about? Hey, what is your favorite restaurant? You ought to try the soup at this place. This is, oh my goodness. It's like 40 bucks a bowl, but I'm telling you, it's what you'd pay double for. That's not what they were doing. They had an agenda. And I want you to notice the language of I'm using the King James, by the way. I want you to notice the language of the Bible. It does not say here in Psalm 2 that the kings of the earth did at one time in the past take counsel together. It doesn't say that they are going to. It says that they do it. So we know this was written in David's time, about 1,000 years before Christ, some 3,000 years ago. So apparently in David's day, the kings of the earth and the rulers were taking counsel together. Even back then, 3,000 years ago, we know for a fact that they were doing it in Christ's day. The Sanhedrin was meeting, the rulers were meeting together to discuss the Lord and his anointed. You know, that's Christ. They were discussing him, how they might eliminate him. And here's the interesting thing. They were looking for a scapegoat, a patsy. That's what Oswald said. I'm a patsy! Okay? They were looking for a patsy. So they found Judas Iscariot. And he said, you know what? I can get him for you. I can do it. Okay? What's your cost? 30 pieces of silver. Done deal. Okay? And that's what there was a conspiracy against. This Bible verse is right. It is right. There was a conspiracy against the Lord's anointed at the time of his coming. But notice the language here. It's not set in the past. It's not set in the future. It is an ever-present idea. It runs all throughout history. That there is an ongoing conspiracy against the Lord and against his anointed. And here's what they say. Let us break their bands asunder. Notice there, as in plural, I believe that it is against the Lord. I believe that and his anointed. And according to Scripture, that would imply, number one, Christ. And number two, all of those who are in Christ, which is, that'd be us. Is there a conspiracy to be against Christianity? Ask Barack. Ask him, how come you didn't say under God? I have a copy. In fact, I have two different copies. One narrated by Darth Vader. it's the Lincoln Portrait by Aaron Copland. If you've never heard this piece of music, it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. It's amazing. But anyway, in that one, the very last part of the Lincoln Portrait, it's music and with some quotations from Abraham Lincoln. And here you have the guy who did the voice for Darth Vader going, "And this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." Under God. He said it. James, who is it? James Earl Jones. Even he said it. Barack didn't say it. Why? He is against the Lord and against his anointed. So is the governor of Illinois signing into this sodomite thing. And that's what they're saying here. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's move them out of the way because they are bonding us in and we can't do what we want to do as long as they are in the way. We can't do what we want to do. So get them out of the way. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. And so if you look at any conspiracy, and it's a genuine something's going on here, then there is going to be an element of this is about the Antichrist is what this is. Whether it's JFK, 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, London train, you name it. I've got several in all that. I was just going through old PowerPoints is what I was doing, just kind of collecting some things together. There is going to be an element that points you to the coming of the Antichrist, because right now he is bound. He is in chains. He has bands and cords on him, and he cannot get free. So there is a conspiracy, and it's interesting that the conspiracy is the kings of the earth and the rulers. Now, one of the probably more plausible conspiracy theories about JFK was that elements of the CIA, we know that JFK was going to closet or mothball the CIA. We know he was going to do away with it. He was going to break it up in little pieces so they didn't have their power. Boy, that one's biting us in the rear now, isn't it? Okay? No CIA, no NSA. He would have done that. He would have pulled us out of Vietnam. His brother Robert was going after all the mafiosos in the country. And so you have very, very powerful ruling people in this country and probably other places that want this guy dead. They want him dead. So there is an element here that involves, I think it involves the rulers, the kings. They are against the Lord. They are against his anointed. And they want to break the bands asunder and cast the cords from them so they can do what it is they want to do, so they can carry out their evil plan. Here is, you want to read conspiracies in the Bible? Here's another one, Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star? No, it's not. See, that's a conspiracy. That's a conspiracy. What do you do? What do you do when you have documents that reveal the conspiracy? What do you do? Ask Hillary Clinton what she does with documents that reveal a Whitewater conspiracy. She works for the Rose Law Firm down in Arkansas, and she spends hours and hours and hours shredding documents. Why? Because it showed that she had a connection with the Whitewater real estate scam that was going on down there. Okay? That's what you do. When you have a conspiracy, when you have something going on and you don't want everybody to find out about it, and there are documents laying around with your name on it, and what you're going to do, you've got to get rid of the documents. You got to shred them. You got to do away with them, because that tells everybody what I'm going to do. Look what's happened in the church, people. Look what's happened. The documents that reveal the program and the plan are now shredded, and the names have been changed. So now it's not Lucifer. It's, for some reason, it's the Morning Star. Think about that. But anyway, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's Mount Zion. Psalms says that. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's a conspiracy, because he's bringing other people in on it. That's the plan, is to enthrone Lucifer. Malachi Martin wrote a book called The Windswept House. I used to have a copy of it. I loaned it out, and it's gone. I guess that's like God paying me back for all the books. Hey, Mike, I want to loan you this book, and when you get done with it, give it back to me because I'd like to keep it. Yay, sure thing. I still have them. Okay? I'm bad about that. If you have a book you want me to look at, don't loan it to me. Okay? But I'll tell you this, be careful about sending me books. I don't know that I'm going to get to it anytime soon. All right? Ezekiel 28, the word of the Lord came unto me, again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, a principality. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and because thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Okay? Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. And then you look over in verse 12. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And it lists all the stones. And then the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, which means musical instruments. Oh, yeah. He plays music. Was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I would love to know what those stones of fire were. I don't know what they are yet. Thou wast perfect, and I've heard different theories. I just don't know for sure. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of deceit. Watch this now. This is, gives you the idea of the nature of the conspirator, Lucifer. He has wisdom. He said he was wiser than Daniel. He was perfect in beauty and wisdom. He was the sum of wisdom and beauty. But because of his pride, now his wisdom has become corrupt. Now he is, instead of a reflection of God, he is the mirror image of God. He is everything that God is not, and everything that God is, he is not. God is the God of light. He is the prince of darkness. God is the God of the living. He's the God of the dead. God is in heaven. He is of this world or hell. And you just kind of look at that. All of those contrasts between God and Satan right here is corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. And you can go on and on and on and on. But there is your conspirator. There's your main conspirator right there. But then it brings in the idea of God is a God of revelation. And so everything that the devil does, somebody asked me a question about this. Everything that the devil does is all about mystery, concealment, not being revealed, keeping it hidden, keeping it under covers, keeping it in darkness, because that's his nature. He doesn't speak plainly. He uses crafty subtlety. Why? Because that is his beast nature. He can't do anything else but that. Yeah, he was at one time wiser than Daniel. But now his wisdom's been corrupted. So he's the opposite, and his words are the opposite of this, aren't they? This is the incorruptible wisdom of God. His words are the wisdom corrupted. You see the difference. And an incorruptible seed will bring about an incorruptible birth. Corruptible seed brings a corrupted birth. In other words, it's a decay. It's a diminishing. It fades away. Let me read you Go to 1 Peter. As we travel down Route 66 here, go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. I illustrated this, I talked about this, the idea of, I think we were talking about it last week or the week before last or something like that, about sucking the breasts. And there, and again, I'm not trying to be vulgar or nasty at all, but there are two of those, Old Testament and New Testament, and they both give out the same milk. As newborn to babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I have. He's very gracious. To whom coming? Now listen to the language now of the King James Bible. To whom coming as unto a living stone. A living stone. Now, think of contrast. You have the living stone, which is Christ. You have a dead, carved out of stone idol of some dead guy. See the opposites here. All right. Even a crucifix is a dead stone image of a dead guy. That's not my Savior. That's not him. That's some other Jesus that they concocted up, but that's not my Savior. He's not there anymore. Yeah, see, to whom coming as unto a living stone. What, and ask yourself the question, what do they make the temple up with? Stones. What is the temple of Christ's kingdom made of? What is it made of? Living stones. Think about that. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And again, I love to have a field day with that word. Now, Pastor, I think you're kind of going too far with this stuff, because that really is just, it's meaning it in the spiritual way, which in, again, in most people's minds is, let's just think about it. Okay, we're done. It's gone. The idea of something being spoken of as being spiritual means it doesn't really exist. It's only, that's just the spiritual talk of the Bible. It's referring to the, you know, this spiritual thing. This thing that you and I have, it's spiritual. Okay? In other words, it doesn't exist. Past the thoughts of your mind, it does not exist. It's not real. It's not tangible. I say, and the Bible says, it's actually more real and more tangible than you and I are. The spiritual things are the real. The earthly things are only a shadow of the real. This right here, this is not what's really, really real. The spiritual that is the real is more real than this real. Does that make sense? But anyway, he said, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. You know what that means? That we are the house of God spiritually, which means in a spiritual form and in the spiritual realm, we literally are the dwelling place of Almighty God. And I want you to get this, because I'm going to contrast that with the temple or the house of the Antichrist is not made up of living stones. What's it made up of? Dead ones. Dead, not just ordinary dead stones. Twice dead, or as the lady that I grew up around across the street, twiced. That's been done twiced. They're twiced dead. stones. Twofold more the child of hell. Do you see the language here? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we know there's two births. We also know there's two deaths. And so in Matthew 23, when someone is made twofold more a child of hell than they already were, that means they are twice dead. That is what was said of the false prophets. They are twice dead. And so the temple of the living God, and let me pull this verse up here. In fact, let me put it on the screen for you so you can see it. This verse here, where'd it go? I had it. Here we go, right here, Matthew 22:32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You see those three there? One, two, three. That's the number for resurrection. It's also the number for the Godhead. I didn't change it over yet. There we go. Here we go. I am the God of the Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. One, two, three. God is not the, look at this phrase here, God of the dead. Is there a God of the dead? Yeah, I think there is. I think there is one who has the power of death. And so the God that you and I serve is the God of the living. And he dwells in a temple not made with hands. You know what? I'm going to make a note. I just had a thought here. This for the next Watchman broadcast. All right, got it. Aren't you dying to know what's on here? You'll see. You'll find out. You'll see. But he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in a temple made with living stones. Us. I've talked about this before. I've alluded to it. I don't want to. Man, we've already been an hour. I gotta get going. But anyway, think about what the temple of Christ is going to be made out of for the 1,000-year reign. It's amazing. No eye has ever seen a building like that on this earth. Anyway. Let's get to conspiracy theories. Manly Hall said this, concealed within the emblematic figures, allegories, and rituals. Notice that word. Rituals of the ancients is a secret doctrine. Why is it secret? Because the devil can't speak plainly. He can only speak in subtleties. He cannot reveal mysteries. He can only make mysteries. A secret doctrine concerning the inner mysteries of life, which doctrine has been preserved in toto among the small band of initiated minds since the beginning of the world. Departing, these illumined philosophers left their formula that others too might attain to understanding. But lest these secret processes fall into uncultured hands and be perverted, the great arcanum was always concealed in symbol or allegory. And those who can today discover its lost keys may open with them a treasure house of philosophic, scientific, and religious truths. And what I have seen over the years, I've collected the information on it, some of which I've shared before. I'm just going to kind of throw some things out there. Is that the JFK assassination was one of these rituals. It was performed not in a Masonic lodge, not in secret, not in hiding, although the act itself and the symbolism of it was done in plain sight, but also meant to be a mystery along. And just think about the whole idea of the JFK assassination. For the last 50 years, this thing has remained one of, if not the biggest mystery that has not been solved. It hasn't. It's been theorized. There's been, and if you say, Hoggard, you're an idiot. I know who did it. I've read this website and I saw this and I, you don't know who did it. You don't know who did it. It's a mystery that has not been solved. I don't know that it will be till we get on the other side. But just think about it. That in itself has created this aura of mystery. And I promise you that concealed inside of that mystery is a secret doctrine. What does that secret doctrine have to do with? Well, let's just ask. Let me pull this up here. How do I do this? There we go. Matthew 6:7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. What does that have to do with anything? It's the idea of rituals. As you know, if you've listened to me before, I don't deal much in rituals. I don't go into, well, now if we do this and we hold our hands like this and we say these words and if we do this, then God is going to perform this. I don't buy it. Because a lot of rituals involved repetitive chants or words or repetitive thing. Everybody do this. Now lift your hands up. Now do this. Now do this. Now do this. Now do this again. And so it's like the guy laying hands on me trying to give me the Shakti pot and he had to do it twice. Well, if I repeat it, maybe it'll stick this time. And what did Jesus say? They think they should be heard for their much speaking. Don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. The heathen do rituals. And they think that their God is going to be invoked and God is going to be heard that way by their much speaking. And Jesus said, don't think that way. I'm of the firm belief as a Bible Christian that I can pray and ask God for something one time and he'll hear me. I don't believe that. Now, if I pray it like 20 times, or if I can get enough people praying for me, then God will hear all of us together. And all of us together, the impact of all of us praying all together, all at once, hitting God on the head, will make him answer our prayers if enough of us do that. I don't believe that. That's a joke. It's an anti-Christian joke. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One prayer from one person. That's what I've... Anyway, back to conspiracies. Back to this. JFK. Let's break this down. First thing we note is the date. 11/22. What does that number make? I've said this before, it's the number 33. What is the significance of the number 33? Let me pull up a slide here. Let me do this one, okay? Who dat? That is a depiction of something. That is Christ. He's dying on the cross. Why is he doing that? Why is it that way? What does that have to do with? And how old was Christ that we can surmise from the scriptures? According to what we can surmise, he was about 33 years old. Let me show you this right here. Why is it that Masonry loves this particular number? Why is it in their House of the Temple Lodge, Washington, D.C., this throne here, where some guy called the Worshipful Master sits, is exactly 33 feet tall. Why do they do that? What is the significance of the number 33? Let's go to the scriptures. If you pull up the King James Pure Bible search software, in fact, here's what I'm going to do. Let's do this. Let's pull up the software. Let's sweep this with the besom of destruction. And this is the new updated 2.0 software. This is the cool version. We're not going to look in the Old Testament. We're only going to look in the New Testament. So we type in the phrase, the beast. And we find 33 times in 33 verses and the New Testament, starting with, and he shook off the beast into the fire. That's like Daniel. The beast shall be put in the flaming fire. Revelation, the beast that ascendeth, and the beast which I saw. And you look at all the examples in the New Testament of the phrase the beast 33 times in the King James Bible, and every one of them have to do with the Antichrist. Here's the 33rd one. Let me pull it up here. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. And so that's the significance, or one of the significances of this idea of the word beast. Let me show you. Let me show you how they conceal it. Now, take a look at that. Ku Klux Klan. I used to know a guy, he couldn't talk very well, and he called it the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm going, what was that? He said, you know, the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, yeah, okay, I get it. The Ku Klux Klan, three Ks. Why? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. J is 10. K is 11. So you have three 11s in this name here, 11, 11, 11, 33. You have the same thing right here. You have, here's the number 11, here's the number 11, and here is the number 11. What do you have? 33. You remember this movie came out a couple years ago, The Immortals. And it was about these gods and these humans. 11, 11. It was designed to come out on that specific date. By the way, the what is it? Somebody told me the second part of the Hunger Games movie, The Flame or something like that. I talked about it. I've not even seen the first one. I guess I need to kind of watch it. But the second part of that movie comes out, guess when? Tomorrow, 11/22. Now, I want you to do this. 11 and 22 make what? 33. Add a 13 to it, because that's the year. What do you have? Dun, dun, dun. I'll show you that here in a minute. Let's go back here. Okay, let's go through our slides while we still have time. So you kind of get the significance here of this number. What does this number refer to? It refers to the beast, the Antichrist. Why then is Jesus 33 years old, hanging on the cross? The Bible gives you the answer. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you, boy, I love that, all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Can I stop right here? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know what that is? That is the Torah instructions. That is the law that is against us. And you have people like Staley and Montejuda, and you have all these other clowns out there trying to give you Hebrew words and Hebrew isms, and the ancient rabbis used to say this, and the rabbis all said this, and the Jewish sages all said this, and according to the Talmud and the Mishnah, it says all this, and according to the Baklava, it teaches that, and they're giving you all this Hebrew stuff, and you're going, oh, okay, I'm supposed to keep the law? Oh, no, I'm supposed to keep the law. Well, they said, you know, it says right there in the Bible that I have to keep the Torah instructions. No, it doesn't. This is why you stick with one Bible. You get a King James Bible and you read it, and it will tell you the absolute truth when men are trying to lie and deceive you so they can get your money and hold power over you. They want to hold you in basically they're leading you to go get a mark on your right hand or forehead. Because one of the condemnations that comes upon those who say, we're going to please God by keeping the Torah instructions. The condemnation that's going to come upon you is that a nation of fierce countenance, whose tongue you shall not understand, is to come and take over you. That's what it says. The law, as glorious as it was, is nothing but about condemnation. It was the handwriting of ordinances that was not for us. It was against us. Do you know what's for us? Christ. He is for us, and the law is against us. Scripture, King James, you ought to just read it without these guys telling you what. Now, in the original Hebrew, even though it doesn't exist, what it would have really said is, you got to keep the law. See, that's just a setup. That's what it is. Anyway, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, what did he do? He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, which is the cross. So here is Christ, and he's showing his enemies on the cross, making a show of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Here is the destruction of the beast right here. You gotta love it. Here's a picture of that. You have Joshua and Moses killing off the kings as they go into the promised land. Moses killed Sion, the king of Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. And then Joshua killed 31 kings. How many is that? 33. Those are the kings that died so that the people could inherit the promised land. Here's another picture of it. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and the 32 kings with him. That's 33. So you start looking at the rituals and the things that number 33. And there's a ton of them. JFK. Not just the date, but the location. Dallas, Texas. Right just within that much of the 33rd parallel, between the 32nd and 33rd parallel. The date, 11/22. And you have to ask yourself the question, I wonder who it was at the CIA that designed all of this. I absolutely think human agents were involved. But I also believe that these are controlled by spirits. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, was at work setting this thing up to show or to conceal the grand arcanum, the big secret. So we have that. Let me go to this right here. What is this? That was the shining lights at Ground Zero after the 9/11 attack that were lit. And I just can't believe this. They lit these lights for exactly 33 nights in a row. Why? What did it have to do with 9/11? It didn't. It had everything to do with showing a mystery, concealing something and yet revealing it at the same time. These buildings, they started steel construction on these buildings in 1968. They then bring them down exactly 33 years later. In fact, you want another one to go along with that? The Pentagon building. Exactly 60 years before September 11th, 2001, these politicians and whoever was there stuck shovels in the ground and had a groundbreaking ceremony on September 11th, 1941. Go look it up. Exactly 60 years to the day. See that number there, 60. Significant. 600. It's 60 is what it is. Highly significant because these devils and these spirits operate by these patterns, by these numbers, by these symbols, by these ratios, by all of these things. This is how they operate. This is how they leave their fingerprints on what it was that they were behind. Let me show you another. Here's this guy, Dan Weldon. I remember dealing with this in a Watchman broadcast. 2011. He was on lap 11. He's 33 years old. He drove car 77. I dealt with that. Just a bunch of interesting stuff here. Pope John Paul I, 33 days after he becomes Pope, they kill him. Bon Scott of AC/DC. You know what AC/DC is? It's opposites. It's what it is. It's the fusion of opposites. David Koresh, 33 years old. Timothy McVeigh. They waited. They stayed his or delayed his execution a month until after he turned 33. Then they killed him. The Alfred P. Murrah Building, 33 columns on this building, three rows of 11 columns apiece on this building. Alfred P. Murrah was a Mason, by the way. Muhammad Atta. Don't write me. Oh, you had. I didn't change the slide, did I? Let me go back here. Oh, technology. Tim McVeigh, David Koresh, Alfred P. Murrah Building, Bon Scott, Pope John Paul I, 33 years old, Dan Weldon. Okay, now go back to Muhammad Atta. Okay? You're going to write, somebody's going to write me an email and say, you stupid idiot Hoggard. What's wrong with you? You idiot, you moron. Don't you know that there was no Islamic terrorist involved in 9/11? No, I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't in the planes. I don't know. I mean, I know what the news said. I know what, you know, all that. But other than that, I don't know. What I do know is there were two buildings. They were 110 stories tall. They were 33 years old. I know those things without any doubt whatsoever. I know those things, and I understand the spiritual nature behind this. I mean, what do you think? You think if you expose the truth that it really wasn't Muhammad Atta, that it was George Bush controlling the planes with an RC, you know, radio control deal? If you can prove that to the world and everybody believes you, and you have Bush arrested, and you have all of his cronies taken down, that you're gonna put down the New World Order. You're gonna finish the whole thing. New World Order's gone because I proved that it was Bush that did it, and I proved it, and all these people are going to be held accountable. And there's been people going to Washington, D.C. under the guise that they're going to go and arrest Congress. And we're going to fix this country right. No, you're not. It doesn't matter if you prove all of the human agents on the ground who were in control of the 9/11 events. It won't matter a difference if you prove all of them who were in on it, have them all executed by firing squad. Do you think the world is going to wake up and the New World Order is going to go away? I mean, do you really think that? Do you really think that if you expose your version of the truth enough, that you're going to stop all of this? No. Because the spirits that are behind this have been doing this for generations. One generation rises up, they do their work, they wad these people up, throw them into hell, go to the next generation. And if you think you can expose all of the seemingly good guys who were involved in 9/11, and you're gonna bring everybody to justice, do you think that it's gonna go away? No. Because these are spirits you're dealing with. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So is it curious to me that Muhammad Atta, one of the apparent 19 bombers, 33 years old. In his name, let me ask you a question. You say, why do you pick Muhammad Atta out? Let me ask you a question. Do you know the names of any of the other 18 suicide people of 9/11? No. For some reason, Muhammad Atta, that guy, is the name and the face that you remember. Why? 33. Let's see here. We talked about that. Oh, look here. Virginia Tech. The murders at Virginia Tech. How many people were killed? 32. What happened to the killer? He killed himself. 33. Remember these guys? The Phoenixes. The 33 miners buried in a pit in a grave that are brought out, rise to the surface, and have new life again wearing their upside-down pentagram T-shirts. It's because of the phoenix, and this is another emblem of the phoenix, the number 33 being prominent here. This emblem here is another 33. You have a triangle pointing up, you have a triangle pointing down, 3 and 3. It's the same thing you have here. You have a triangle pointing up, a triangle pointing down, 33. You see it here, same symbol. This one is a king. He's wearing a crown. So that's what you have with the square and the compass. The Japanese flag, 32 rays surrounding the center point, 33. Jesuit symbol. Isn't it funny that the Japanese on one end of the earth and the Jesuits on the other end of the earth had the exact same symbol, 33. The points on a compass rose, 33. CIA uses that symbol, 33. So, I mean, if you wanted to make a connection between the CIA and JFK, there you go. I mean, that's about as good as I can get. And I think it's probably legitimate. United Nations symbol, 33 sections surrounding the center point, the 31. And then you have, we talked about Dealey Plaza being between 32nd and 33rd parallel. You also have Roswell, New Mexico, White Sands, New Mexico, which is where the first atomic bomb was exploded. Phoenix, there's the Phoenix right there. Phoenix, Arizona. Then you have Nagasaki, Japan, location of the second atomic bomb drop, August 9th, 1945. And then, well, let's see here. What else do we want to talk about? Three shot. Let's talk about Hiram Abiff for a second. Okay? Let me show you the idea behind Hiram Abiff. Hiram Abiff is this Masonic legend. And Hiram is the secret master who he knows the secrets of building temples. Think about it. We have Christ who builds his own temple out of lively stones. So what does Hiram build them with? Dead ones. And so Hiram knows how to take dead stones and build a temple out of it. He knows the secret. And there are three who are lower level than Hiram, and they work for Hiram. And they want to know the secret, but they have not ascended all the levels. Okay? They haven't learned all the secret handshakes, and they haven't done this, and they haven't done that. They don't. You know what it is? It kind of sounds like how some, actually a lot, in Christian, especially scholars and Bible teachers and preachers, make everybody else feel when they disagree with them. Well, I'm sorry, but you haven't been studying the scriptures for 30 years like I have. You haven't acquired the degrees that I have. you haven't achieved the success that I have. I have been preaching this many years. That makes me more qualified than you. How long have you been a Christian? 4 months? Well, have you ever experienced? I have. And I'll tell you. And number one, and I want to say this. If I ever get to a place where I'm looking down my nose at you people going, well, excuse me for how long have you been doing this? Because I want you to know I have been. If I ever get that way, please let me know. I was going to say shoot me, but don't. Because it has nothing to do with how long you've been studying the scriptures. Because when Peter told Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know what Jesus said? Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter. Jesus didn't say, now, Peter, such an ignorant, boorish statement that you made. How long have you been following me? He didn't say that. Because I'm telling you that when you get something from God out of the scriptures, it has nothing to do with how long you've been looking, how long you've been in the field, how much experience. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do. I know there's some things that I haven't learned that I haven't attained to yet. I know there's some things that a lot of people haven't learned that haven't attained to yet. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to God giving you something from the scriptures, you don't need to be saved but about a week or a day. And he'll give you profound things. So these three guys come to Hiram and they want to know. And Hiram says, I'm sorry, but you just don't. You're just not up to my level. And so they say, you know what? Give us the key. We want to know. So here's what. Now, watch this now. Here's what the three ruffians do in the Masonic legend. The first ruffian strikes a blow on Hiram Abiff. And he hits him in the neck. Of the three shots that we know about on JFK, the first one, because you remember that Zapruder film, and JFK comes from behind the sign, and he's going, he was smitten in the neck. Now, depending on which bullet theory you ascribe to, which I'm not going to comment because I don't know. What I do know for a fact is that right after that, there was another wound. It wasn't in Kennedy. It was in John Connolly. But where was it? It was in his left breast. When Hiram didn't give the key the first time to the first ruffian who struck him on the throat, the second ruffian came to him, smote him on the left breast, and said, tell us the secret. And Hiram said, no. And then, what was it, about 2 seconds after Kennedy emerges from that sign, Abraham Zapruder having his camera there, watching Kennedy emerge from the road sign there, clenching his neck, Jackie Kennedy leaning over to him, asking as if to ask him, honey, what's wrong? Marilyn got you by the throat. All of a sudden, his forehead explodes all over that car, all over Jackie. You see her climbing toward the back of the limousine. You think she's trying to give the Secret Service guy, wonder what he was doing when all this was going on, a hand up. No, she was picking up pieces of his head for him. Because the third ruffian goes to Hiram and he says, give me the secret. And Hiram says, no. And he smote him on the forehead. And that was the kill shot for Hiram Abiff. That's, and right here at frame 312 of the Zapruder film, you have Hiram Abiff, the neck, the left breast of Connolly, the forehead of JFK match perfectly with the ritual of Hiram Abiff that is held in every Masonic lodge in America. It's just unbelievable. When I looked it up and I went, no way. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I put that graphic up on the screen. How old was Kennedy? 46 years old. What does that have to do with? Here's Genesis 3. The exact words that Lucifer spoke in the King James Bible. 46 words. Yeah, God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And then down here, you should not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. 46 words exactly. Genesis 11. Here is what they said. Who? The people at Babel. Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. Then, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Exactly 46 words. What does that have to do with anything? Here is a picture of the wilderness temple, the tabernacle. It was built by Moses by the instructions of God himself. Moses was instructed that down the, let's see here, this is east, west, so this would be north and south. Down the south wall, there was to be 20 boards laid across here for the wall. On the north wall, 20 boards. The front does not have boards. It's an open doorway. It has four pillars. The back, then, has six boards that make it all together. 20 plus 20 plus 6. 46 exactly. Here is the temple, the tabernacle, the body. The body, that's what that's about, because your chromosomes, 46 chromosomes, and they're basically death. Don't you understand that? When you look at the words of Lucifer or the serpent in the Garden of Eden, they're all about death. What is the temple of the Antichrist going to be? It's the temple built up of dead stones. And JFK was a memorial to that. I got something else to show you. I haven't really talked about much. I've been here. I counted them. You ought to see this thing. The memorial that they have in Dallas, Texas, to JFK. When they built it, everybody was going, what is that? What does that have to do with John F. Kennedy? That's the stupidest thing we've ever seen in the world. And it's still there. Big part of the Dallas downtown Dealey Plaza area. And you just look at it and you go, who designed that stupid looking thing? There was a reason for it. I'll show it to you in a minute. But the temple of the Antichrist is all about being made of dead things. What is it? The Bible says that you and I, or practically everybody that is alive, is actually dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. So you have, instead of the temple made up of lively stones, which is the temple of God, you have the temple of the Antichrist, which is the human body. Here's a picture of it. Here is a temple with a dead idol God inside of it, Abraham Lincoln, that has 36 pillars on the outside, 10 on the inside, 46, exactly. And so you read 2 Thessalonians 2, that the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Masonry itself exalts this number, although they do it secretly. Here is the steps of the Scottish Rite of Masonry, 33. Here are the steps of the York Rite of Masonry, 13. Remember, I want you to remember that tomorrow is 11-22-13. I want you to remember that. I Pastor, is something going to happen tomorrow? Yeah, it's Sweetie Pie Day. Don't know what that means, but anyway, it's Sweetie Pie Day. I'm going to go out with Sweetie Pie tomorrow. Is anything else going to happen? Well, we know a movie's going to come out. Hunger Games, it's about the divine spark. It's about a revolution. Was it designed to come out on that day? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so. What does it mean? It's showing the temple of the Antichrist, the body. And JFK is the embodiment of that. 46 years old, and all these 33s and 46s, and there's a whole idea of him being Hiram Abiff, being the dying God, and how when I get to his memorial there in Dallas, I'm going to show you something interesting. Here's the Masonic House of the Lodge Temple in Washington, D.C. 33 columns at the base, 13 steps or rows on the pyramid. They are fused together. 46. The columns of Jachin and Boaz in Masonry. You see it, you can see it here. Here's one and here's the other. You have a globe of the earth and a globe of the stars, meaning that they're fused together. Here's the royal arch. They are fused together, the earth and the heavens. This is the fourth kingdom, mingling themselves with the seed of men, the 46 chromosomes. See the secrets right here. In 1 Kings, you have the exact heights of Jachin and Boaz. 18 cubits plus 5 cubits. You had 18 cubits was the length of the pillars themselves, and then you had chapiters, or the other word for that is capitals. Interesting. Capitals right here, which are caps on top of the pillars. So the pillars were 18 cubits. The chapiters were 5 cubits. They were 23 cubits apiece, 46. Do you remember how Ash Wednesday is determined? Ash Wednesday is 46 days. Let's see. Now, how does it do that? Ash Wednesday is exactly 46 days before Easter Sunday. And think about the symbolism of something that's, you know, like an X chromosome that rises up out of the ashes. Just think about that. That's what Ash Wednesday is all about, in case you know someone who is Roman Catholic or whatever that does that. Now, here's a piece of brand new information. I posted this on Facebook the other day before I went deer hunting. I downloaded legally, I bought a copy of it, the Man of Steel movie. I went to see it at the theater. I knew I was missing something, so I downloaded it, and I've gone through it one time. I'm going to go through it again. But I'm watching this, and I'm looking for things, because I know that this movie, and I probably will do something about it here in sometime, PMO or Watchmen broadcast or something like that, about this Man of Steel movie, because I'm just blown away at the imagery of it. It was a 2-hour commercial for here comes the Antichrist. He's going to save the world. That's what it was all about. Let's see if I can find the pictures here. I don't remember how many of them I put in here. I don't think I put any of them in here except for this one. I saw this image from the movie because, and I'd have to set the whole thing up, but Lois Lane is looking for this mystery man, she calls him. Get it? The mystery man. She says, how do you find a guy that's concealed himself all of his life? You start with the legends and the myths and the stories. That's what it is. That's what Manly Hall was talking about, secret teachings of all ages. You know where she ends up meeting Clark Kent? At the cemetery where his dad is buried. I want you to do the math and see how old his dad was when he died. Do the math. 1951, 1997. Guess how old his dad was when he died? And they deliberately go out of their way to show you that in the movie. And there's a whole bunch of other... I'm watching it and I'm going, well, they didn't hide that. They didn't hide that. I mean, said that. They said that. They said that. But the thing is, who gets it? Who understands it? They're speaking, they're sprechen the Deutsch, and none of the Deutsches are understanding it. No one understands. See, that's the language that they speak. Their tongue, no one understands. They don't get it. And it's right there. Here it is. And this is meant to be subliminal. It's not meant to be, you know, very outward. It's, you're meant to do the math in your mind subconsciously. But at one point, Superman turns around and says, what? I've been here for 33 years. 33 years. That's how long I've been here. And he winks a few. No, I'm just making that up. But he says that. It's right there in your face. Now, let me show you the JFK Memorial in downtown Dallas, Texas. You go, what in the world were they thinking? That is the stupidest, most, if you happen to like JFK as a president, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I mean, you got to admit, you know, you look back at it historically, and he was doing some things that, you know what, in retrospect, I wished he'd have done them. I wished he'd have broke up the CIA. I wished he would have pulled us out of Vietnam. I wished he would have done those things. I wished Robert Kennedy would be allowed to go ahead and investigate all the mafia bosses. But you look at the memorial to JFK, and for whatever greatness the man was, you look at that and you're going, that looks like some kids built that out of popsicle sticks and Legos. What in the world is that? If you see, like right here on the bottom, this is actually tall. Like if you were standing next to this, you would be like this tall, somewhere around in this tall. Okay? That's how big this is. Right here in the middle of it, you can actually walk inside of here. You fit, you know, rather nicely through this little opening here. And right here, there's just a bronze square plaque that says John Fitzgerald Kennedy. That's all it says. I did a little look up on this. There's a name for this kind of memorial. Do you know what it is? It's called a cenotaph. You don't know what that means. A cenotaph is, it literally means in Greek. And now in the original Greek, what this really means is, what cenotaph means is, get this, are you ready? Empty tomb. I'm not kidding you. It means an empty tomb. What it signifies is that he's not really dead, because he lives in all of us right here. Have you ever heard him say that? That's what a cenotaph is. Now, here's the interesting part. A cenotaph, this particular cenotaph, is made up of exactly, see these columns here? Exactly 72. Okay, Hoggard, what in the world does that mean? Let me show you this. There's the old BP oil logo, British Petroleum. Here's the new one. You know what that is? That's a lotus flower. Do you know how many leaves? I did. I sat one day and I counted the number of petals on this lotus flower. And I did this doing the research for the BP oil spill. You remember that? Okay. And there was a bunch of conspiracy theories locked in with that one. And some of them we were going, really? Some of that stuff didn't pan out. Okay. Just didn't pan out. But anyway, back to the lotus petal. You know what that symbol is? The lotus? Here's what it is. The lotus is considered in India as the center where Brahma dwells. Let's go back here. See this? The lotus petals conceal the beast because he lives in the center. Are you picking up on the language here? Okay? It's like in the Divine Spark series I've been doing. The Divine Spark is in the center point of all of humans. All humans have in us this Divine Spark. And it's awaiting full-blown reality. We have concealed in us this inner secret in our center point. And so BP Petroleum, British Petroleum, using this symbol of a 72-petaled lotus flower. So the lotus is considered in India as the center where Brahma dwells and is the visible manifestation of his occult activity. So go back to this. The same number of columns, 72. Same number of petals, 72. There's a secret here that is concealed there. It's the outward symbol of an inner secret. Here's what's interesting. The King James in Job 40 talks about a beast called Behemoth. If you read the NIV here, I'm going to show you the non-inspired version of what they say, how this beast in Job 40 is concealed. Look at this. Under the lotus, under the lotus plants, he lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal him in their shadow. That is exactly what the Dictionary of Symbols said. They're concealing this beast called Brahma in the lotus flowers, and the NIV says so. Here's something else interesting. You probably remember this. This goes back to a Watchman broadcast. Remember those two earthquakes? One in Haiti and one in Chile. You remember those? It's like we had this massive earthquake in Haiti and everybody's going, oh my goodness, it was terrible. It's like this 7-8 point on the Richter scale and all these people dead and buildings destroyed and we're just now getting over that. And then the same thing happens in Chile. Now, Haiti is like on one side of North America. Chile is on the other side of South America. And I didn't really put the two together until I looked at a map. Because they're both in a straight line. Exactly. In a straight line from one another. Guess what line of longitude they were on? 72nd line of longitude. And they happened in the same year, on the same line of longitude, 72. And they occurred exactly 46 days from each other. Now, you tell me that the CIA knows how to do that. I'm sorry. Some of you will tell me how you think the CIA can do that. Okay, I'll back up. I think devils know how to do this. I think they do. Have they given the technology to man? You know what? Could be. But man doesn't come up with this stuff on his own. So you're trying to point a finger at somebody in the CIA or somebody working for the HARP or whatever. And I get it. But look beyond, because when those guys die off, the conspiracy's not going to go away. It's still going to be active because you're dealing with spirits who control and manipulate these things, just like the JFK assassination. Here's another picture of it. This is the all-seeing eye. I've made references to this many times. According to Manly Hall, I've tried to count these, and I just lose count. But according to Manly Hall, there's 72 stones on here. Now, stop right here. 72 stones. You know what this is? This is a temple. It's a pyramid temple. Doesn't look like... New Jerusalem is not a pyramid, people. It is a four square. Not a three square. A four one. It is the temple of the Antichrist. What is it made of? It is made of dead stones. Look at the image. It is made of dead stones. How many of them? 72. Why that number? The Kabbalah has what they call the 72 names of God. And at the center point of the 70, there's something hidden, some secret, magic, mystical power hidden inside of the 72 names of God. These 72 Hebrew letters jumbled up. And if you say them all the right, you know what that's witchcraft, by the way. That's what these sacred namers and the Hebrew roots people are trying to get you into. With all this stupid stuff about there was no letter J before the 1500s, so therefore you're saying something occult and pagan when you say Jesus and Jehovah, like the King James Bible says. They're trying to set you up into a doctrine that says in the Kabbalah that if we can say the 72 names of God with these sacred magical Hebrew letters, that we're going to make God rise up. What God is concealed in the 72? That's the cenotaph there. What God is concealed inside the 72 dead stones? Let me show you where they get the number from. Genesis chapter 10. I can't remember what book it was, the King James quoted by divine order. I mistakenly said that there were 70 nations in Genesis 10, 70 families. I was wrong. Somebody wrote me one day and said, Hoggy, count them again. And I did. I've counted them several times. I actually have a document somewhere that lists all 72 families. I actually have them numbered. And let me just kind of tell you what this means. Humanity is the graveyard full of dead men's bones. Humanity and the 72 bloodlines from Shem, Ham, and Japheth are conceived. These bodies, these dead, corrupt bodies, are those 72 dead stones that is going to make up the house and the temple of the Antichrist. The JFK assassination, Lincoln Memorial, the nation's capital. You go look at the Capitol Dome from the inside, you'll see that a dead god named George Washington has risen through three levels. See, in the basement of the Capitol, that was intended to be the burying place of George Washington. They were going to keep his dead body down in a level below the Capitol Rotunda. And the symbolism is that he has risen from his grave and he has ascended up to the stars. He's now the head over everybody. He's sitting on a throne making the as above, so below symbol with his hands, surrounded by his 13 girlfriends, Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, Abominations of the Earth, and surrounded by, he is the circumpunct, he's the center point, he's the dot within a circle of exactly 72 stars in the Capitol Rotunda. And what that's telling you is what the Bible is trying to reveal is that embedded within the bloodlines of humanity, the dead stones of human flesh, is concealed this beast, this Hiram Abiff, that is just waiting. We were talking about it this morning, about all the technology now where everybody can do all this stuff. We're living in a day right now, people, where everybody is becoming one. You know what I think all this news about how the government's spying on everybody, you know what I think's going to happen? I think a revolution's going to happen. I really do. I think people all over the world are going to get sick and tired of these evil governments ruling over them, and they're going to have a revolution. It's going to be technology-based. There's already Yahoo. Yahoo sent word out the other day that starting on such and such a date, they're going to start encrypting all of their emails. Anybody who has a Yahoo email account, your emails are going to be automatically encrypted, which means the NSA, even though it collects your emails, won't be able to read them. I think that there's going to be a counter-revolution based upon technology, based upon a lot of other things, where all of the people of the world using all of this technology are going to say to the governments, you can't rule over us anymore. We're all going to come together and we're going to be one and we're going to be free. And I think that that revolution itself, that part of that, is going to bring about the destruction of what you and I currently know as this world order to a new one. That's what I think is going to happen. And out of the ashes of that day of fire, you know what's coming out of those ashes, don't you? By the way, there's two memorials. There's the JFK Memorial in Dallas. And then in Washington, D.C., what is that cemetery there? Arlington. Arlington National Cemetery is where JFK is buried. Do you know what marks his grave? It's called the Eternal Flame. And there's a little circle there. And they got a little gas line that runs to it. And they lit the flame when they buried JFK, and it's the idea, it's called the flame of hope or whatever it is. It's that he's not really dead. See the flame? He's still alive. With JFK, I get it. Yeah, the flame is probably a pretty good symbol of what's going on with JFK right now. Just to be honest. That's what I think is going on. It's been almost 2 hours already. You know, I was going to ask for your conspiracy theories. Somebody's asking me, and several people have been asking me. I just kind of glancing through all the emails here. I apologize, people. You know me, when I get started talking, I just don't know how to shut up. And maybe if nothing goes on between now and next Tuesday, we'll just answer questions, all right? Maybe we'll do that. But anyway, I'm looking for conspiracy theories. Oh, come on. Now the trollers again are trying to call me a racist again. Why don't you people go move on to Rush Limbaugh or somebody? Good grief. What is wrong with you people? I'm looking for conspiracy theories. They're here. The trollers are here. Good grief. What is wrong with you people? Conspiracy theories. I'm looking for who's got anything. Here we go. Kennedy death. Kennedy wasn't a fan of the CIA after the Bay of Pigs invasion went wrong. He said he was going to disband the CIA and cast it into the winds. There is a recording. You can find it on YouTube. You just type in John F. Kennedy speech, secret societies. You'll find it. He wanted to disband. Anyway, Kennedy was talking about secret organizations are against the democracy of America. He said this, I think, before he became president. But he kind of made this little speech that basically said, if you're running a secret show while I'm president, you're not going to like me. So anyway, some say the CIA was involved or there were rogue CIA agents and mob working together because Kennedy, Brother Robert, was putting a lot of heat on the mob at that time. Plus Robert Kennedy being killed in 68, maybe another. I think that's plausible. Daniel, let's see here. Days of Our Lives first aired November 8, 1965. So Cronkite must have interrupted some other soap opera. I'll get back with you on that one. Okay. And somebody didn't send me a comment, they sent me a video. Let's see here. Kennedy. Calvinism. No, Jive Turkey, you're so racist. Okay, here we go. Do not say my name. It's our little secret. Let's see if you read. Okay, I'm assuming I can read this. And I almost said it. My husband is 20 years my senior and was working in Hollywood films at the time of the Kennedy death. A few months after the death, he was invited over to the home of a Hollywood friend and was shown a home movie, quote unquote. To this day, he cannot remember the gentleman's name. This man ran this film for him for several times. Then when he was done, asked my husband what he saw. My husband said he was stunned because he said he saw the chauffeur shoot the president. My husband got busy working in films, never saw the gentleman again, but said he will never forget it. I showed him this YouTube video, and he said this is what he was in this film, but from a different angle. Okay? You know what? I've seen the idea that the chauffeur turned around and shot Kennedy. If you're going to do it that way, to be realistic, that is the worst assassination attempt in the whole world. You see, we're not Islamic terrorists. We don't think that if we kill everybody that we get these 72 virgins. Get it? People in this country, they want the $30,000 they're going to get for shooting a guy. They don't want to get caught doing it. So, I don't know. I would have to see this other video before I'd go, you know what? Yeah, it kind of looks like that. Anyway, but I appreciate that. Let's see here. Oh, here's an... I'm not going to do it. You guys go away. Let's see here. Pastor Mike, since you're discussing conspiracies, let me ask you a question. You have a group of men that claim to have done something very important and that the whole world knows about, and you have even seen video of the event, and then someone offers them each $5,000 to swear in a Bible that they did this thing, and every one of them refused. Will this alone be enough to convince you that they might be lying? If so, then I have a video for you to watch. If not, please explain why this would not be enough to give you pause. This is not a trap. It is a sincere question. Send the video. Send the video and tell me what it's about. Okay? I'll let you know what I think about it. Or I may, if I think it's a bunch of hooey, I'll just say, I'm going to read my Bible. Okay? So, send me the video. Okay, it's what I'm going to tell you to do. Conspiracy theory. Let's see here. Conspiracy 1122 makes 33. There you go. Okay. I got to forward that when they want the... Let me forward that to somebody. If somebody wants the King James software, and you can actually download it online, and if you try to tell me you don't have the internet, then how are you sending me an email? Just saying. But no, you can order, you can get it online at purebiblesearch.com, but I'm going to forward the request, and we'll send you the software. Okay? Some guy writes in, Hoggard, you idiot, you moron, don't you know it? Oh, just kidding you. Great podcast. Shame I missed the end. Have to go to work. I gotcha. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Chaplain Bob. You had a young lady mention that Illinois was the 19th state to vote gay rights. I'm pretty sure we're the 16th state. Okay. I believe you, Chaplain. I believe you. But anyway, they voted in gay rights. Here we go. There's another one. Man, I'm getting spammed from everybody today. Oh, come, you guys. Isaiah says, I believe that Ash Wednesday is preparing Catholics to receive the mark of the beast on their heads. Bingo. You get it. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you not calling me a racist. Appreciate that. Somebody named Hap says, I don't get it, though. Who is the message to and what is the purpose since all these conspirators already know all that? They don't. They don't. Let me kind of illustrate it this way, and I'm probably going to run out of time. Ephesians 2 says, the God of this world works, is a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So, somebody asked me, do you think some of these like charismatic word faith preachers, you think they really believe what they're saying, or they just know they're spouting out a bunch of hooey, and they're just doing it for the chicks and the liquor and the money? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that they deceive and they deceive themselves. All you have to do to be on the devil's side of the New World Order is you have to disbelieve the Bible. That's all you have to do. And whatever it is you do in life, I guarantee you somehow, some way, furthers the cause of the kingdom of the Antichrist in the last days. Doesn't matter if you fix cars, work in a bank, do it waitress at tables. It doesn't matter what you do. If you don't believe the scriptures, you are an agent of Satan. And most people would go, that's so stupid. I don't even believe in Satan. There you go. He doesn't care whether you believe in him or not. He doesn't care whether you know the truth. In fact, you're better off as far as he's concerned not knowing the truth. Did he tell the truth to Eve in the Garden of Eden? No, he lied to her. Because that's all he knows how to do. But he is trying to collect everybody on his side through hook and crook, so that Antichrist, that beast, can rise up and sit on the throne. And the only way he knows how to talk is in symbolisms and conspiracies and subtlety and symbols and not saying it the right way and mythology. That's the only way he knows how to disciple and talk to people. And if you have the idea that all the conspirators, they know the conspiracy and they know what they're doing, I would say that there's probably very, very few people in this world who actively know that they're serving Satan. And they're doing it because they are serving Satan. The rest of everybody else thinks they're serving God or themselves. And they don't know. And as long as they don't know, the devil's, as long as the snake can stay hidden in the grass or the lotuses, it's exactly where he likes to be. All right. Had fun. Appreciate you. Love you even. And you know, I really do. I think it's one guy or one person spamming me with about 20 different emails because one of them was from DavidDuke@yahoo.com. You idiot. What's wrong with you? I want you to know I love you. And I want you to be saved, because if you get saved and you read this Bible and you believe it, you will not waste another second trying to get under my skin. You won't do it. I promise you. All right? Everybody out there, pray for the guy who writes me under the name of David Duke, all right? You pray for him, all right? Love you. We'll see you.